This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Oh boy, got another morning together. Happy to be with you. Want to wish you a very happy Tuesday as we get close to New Year's Day. Just a reminder, I know that everyone is, you know, off of school, off of work, whatever you may be doing. Don't forget to pay your bills before the end of the year. I almost forgot to do that, Lee Rogers, where, you know, you're used to paying everything towards the end of the year, but when your schedule gets flipped upside down, you forget about those things.
Absolutely.
You don't want to get those notices. Oh, you forgot to pay or you haven't paid. And you think, oh, no. I'm pretty good at it, though, but whenever the routine changes. Yeah. So it's cold up here where I'm at in Detroit. We had this bomb cyclone squall, and there's a ton of people without power. There's a 40-car pileup on 75. It was a mess up here yesterday, and I didn't have to leave my basement, which was kind of nice, actually.
Exactly, probably. A lot of folks like that these days.
Yep. There's this one story that happened in Burke County, North Carolina, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. Apparently, there's now a $25,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of the murder of 23-year-old Brittany Elizabeth Ferguson. And if you remember that case, she was driving down the road and a large rock was thrown through her windshield. She was killed. Stuff like that. Sometimes it's better for me not to know about news stories, because when I read things like that, instantly I think, great, now every time I drive under an overpass or go someplace, I'm going to have to, in the back of my mind, think, okay, I better check my nines and threes and see if there's anyone over there, and is there anyone up at 12? And now I'm instantly paranoid about things like that. That's just horrific.
I'll be honest with you. On at least when it's daylight, I'm looking on the bridge as I go through.
Yeah.
And not just because of this story, but because of many stories like this. Like I said, when it's daylight or it's a lit bridge, I sort of, you know, take a little gander up there. What's up there?
Well, think if you're that person that may have thrown that rock or had something to do with it or know who that person is, and there's a $25,000 reward with it. How do you live with yourself, one, to know that you did that and you've gone this long without anyone finding out who you are?
No.
Do you think that person's moved on, as in it's been so long, they probably don't care at this point that they killed a human life? Like, do you think they become so desensitized to it that it doesn't even register to them?
Probably
that
so.
There's people.
Honestly, if you have got a lack of humanity to throw some life-threatening object off of a bridge towards someone, a random vehicle on the roadway, I don't think that you have the empathy or the desire to not. You know, I don't get it. I mean, I really just don't get it. It's just senseless.
Yeah. Do you remember the story about Dr. Phil's sister-in-law, something similar happened?
I don't recall that, but not surprising.
Okay, so Dr. Phil's sister-in-law, her name is Cindy, back in 2001, someone threw a jar of acid through the overpass, crashed through her car window. The acid burned 70% of her body, including her face. Doctors gave her a 30% chance of survival. She had 12 surgeries and survived. And now 68 years old. I take that back. She died at the age of 68 in 2018, nearly two decades after the attack. I apologize. But perpetrator was never caught. Another situation where it was never caught.
Just ridiculous. Just senseless violence. I mean, you know.
For the sake of it.
Yeah.
Do you instantly think kids, or do you think there's adults that do things like this?
I certainly think that there are adults, but I do think that it's probably for the younger crowd that just doesn't have the life experience to realize that the loss and the pain that you're trying to put another individual through for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah. You know what also bothers me about all of this is that even if they do catch that person, you know what's going to happen. Oh, they're first-time offender, and they were scared.
Or
so
they were abused
you know,
as a child, or you know, fetal alcohol syndrome, or you know, drug abuse by parents, or
right.
some
oh,
other.
They're, yeah, part of the community, and they've changed since then. And, you know, so they'll do this sympathy story, and then, you know, the judge will say, okay, 5 to 10 years, and it ends up being like 3.5 after good behavior. And you're like, okay, the person takes another person's life and, you know, tries to hide the fact, and, you know, it destroys another family because of this. And now they'll never have that person back, and the whole dynamic of that family changes, and your punishment is a slap on the wrist for taking a life. We are just way too sympathetic for people that do things like this. $25,000 reward. I hope that helps. There's got to be someone that knows, and you think they had to have told someone. Another story. This is out of The Hill. President Trump said during a recent interview that the U.S. knocked out a big facility in Venezuela as they continue to ramp up pressure there. And he was talking to WABC, and it's an interesting, I don't know if you listen to them at all, but the resurgence of talk radio through WABC and such in New York is kind of an interesting one. But when the president talks about ramping up actions against Venezuela, trying to, you know, talk to Maduro not receptive, do you think are we just setting up like, okay, once we knock a few things off our plate, once we get this Russia-Ukraine off our plate, once we get Israel-Gaza off our plate, are we just going to be like, all right, we got room on our plate, let's go to Venezuela? I'm afraid that might be setting up right now.
I think it's an all-of-the-above situation that the Trump administration is trying to show that American hard power is back, and he's not afraid to use it. The strike in Venezuela apparently was a CIA strike. It was not U.S. military, according to some of the intelligence reports that I've seen. And quite honestly, all of this is a part of the whole struggle between the U.S., Russia, and China. And this is part of it because the Russians and the Chinese for decades have been getting inroads into South and Central America. China through their Belt and Road program, where they basically hold people financially hostage, countries that is, with promise of aid, and then, you know, seize the assets when they don't make the payments.
And
I just think this is one of those things where the Trump administration is using hard power in areas where they are pretty much assured of victory, and that will be an example to those who want to show that, you know, or want to take advantage of this country, you know, militarily or economically.
You know, Venezuela used to be cool, at least from what I can tell. So when I was in a fantasy hockey league, I was a sim league, so it wasn't even real players. It was basically a computer game that, you know, 30 guys were a part of, and, you know, you controlled a team. And one of the people lived in Venezuela right at this time when all the takeover stuff happened. So he lived there before. He said it was awesome. And he said it went from being one day things were great to the next day you owned nothing and had nothing.
Right.
It was literally overnight.
Yeah.
And the stories about people in Venezuela that were trying to find ways to feed their family, they were talking about doctors that would cross the border for sex trafficking and prostitution and then return with what little money they were able to use in order to buy some food for their family. These are doctors, like people that are very well-trained professionals that were going through desperation like this. And he talked about the corruption and the drugs and all these other things. He said it used to be so awesome. He's like, life was great down here up until that. Night and day difference.
Venezuela was a great country at one time, but, you know,
and they had all the resources. And the richness of the oil, and they were sitting on some pretty amazing things, and the corruption took over, and their money became nothing, and their people became starved, and it was just absolutely horrific what they went through. And he was kind of lucky enough where he had dual citizenship because he played a sport.
Yeah.
So he traveled a lot, and I think he also had a passport where he could travel. Maybe not dual citizenship, I take that back. He had a passport where he can travel so he can leave the country without raising suspicion because of being an athlete. So he took advantage of that, and I wonder where he's at. I haven't talked to him in years. I wonder whatever happened to him.
Hope he made it out alive.
Oh, man. It's tough when you got family.
Yeah.
Lee Rogers, happy to be with you this morning.
And thank you, sir.
I'm looking forward to spending the day. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. And when we come back, yesterday we had that big meeting between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm going to play some clips from that, kind of catch up to where we are in that conflict. Are we any closer to ending that one as well? Feel free to text the show. We do have the text line open. Common Sense Retirement Planning. Text line is 800-905-0989. You're listening to The Tara Show. Don't go anywhere on WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
That is guest hosting Coast to Coast. Yes. Yeah, no, I've been filling in for Tara longer than I have been doing weekend Coast to Coast AM shows. So if you listen on the weekends, I do, I think, one weekend a month, sometimes two weekends. It just depends, but only about two or three shows a month doing the show. George Norrie does, you know, the regular weekday shows. And then since it's a 7 day week show, they have other fill in guest hosts for the weekends. And I've been doing it not quite a year, but love doing it. So I'm done for the month of December. I got some shows, I think three shows coming up in January. So thank you for noticing. But I've been doing the Tara Show a lot longer, I'll say that. One person said, someone threw a Hardee's cup full of rocks on my windshield off a bridge. It's terrifying. Tell me you don't want to go find that person immediately. And if they want to throw rocks at you, you want to throw fists at them. One person said, Ryan, it took me years to not have the hair on the back of my neck stand up every time I see a cardboard box on the side of the road due to training in military regarding the dangers of IEDs. That would be one that would be impossible to shake off, wouldn't it? You know, I worked with someone who said that she would not want to run over any trash or bags or anything that are on the road. Like, let's say someone drops something, and sometimes you can't avoid it, but it just looks like an empty bag or whatever, because her mom said, what if there's an animal in that bag? And she said, oh, that's terrifying. Like, if you believe that, that means you probably have an obligation to stop and check, like, every bag that's on the side or in the road. But she said ever since then, her mom instilled that in her, that when you're on there, you got to be real careful, because if what may look like an empty trash bag of McDonald's, harmless if you run it over, though you don't want to, but if you do, it would not harm anything. In the back of her mind, she always thought, what if it's a something in there, a cat or a possum or whatever? One person said, good morning, Ryan. There is a 17-year-old girl who is missing out of Greer, South Carolina. I've heard very little coverage of the story. Okay, well, how about this? When we come back, I'll take a little bit more and we'll mention that to make sure you get it out. Another person said, thanks, your voice sounded familiar. Okay, thank you for all the text messages. If you want to go ahead and send us a text message, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. So what I want to do is play a couple of clips from yesterday. Should I play this one first? So Donald Trump, he had a pre and post press conference, really a couple of words as they were walking into the meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu. This is at Mar-a-Lago yesterday. And then afterwards had a more formal question and answer with media. And it was interesting because when you think about the president of the United States, you think a very formal setting. And Mar-a-Lago is different. They kind of had this, what looked like makeshift backdrop, kind of like pipe and drape type of things. And you had two podiums, one with the president, one with Netanyahu, and it looked like the media was just semi-circled around them, some of them sitting on the floor, and it almost reminded me of an old grade school assembly where the principal came out with a teacher, and you, like, some kids would be on the floor, some were standing. That's what it looked like to me, and they brought out some of the carpet squares for them. But he was also very kind to media. It was kind of funny listening to it. When going into the meeting, president said, we'll bring some food out for you so you guys can eat while we're meeting. Would that be all right with you guys? Are you guys hungry? He's like talking and he's like trying to be nice to the press there covering this, because he understands the significance of what he is actually doing here with trying to bring peace to that region. What a significant thing. It is a thing to celebrate if peace is brought, an agreement that the ceasefire turns into a long-term peace deal. So as we go into this beforehand, they brought up Maduro, and they brought up Venezuela, and they brought up the drug smuggling. And this is something we were talking with Lee Rogers right before the break. And this is what Donald Trump had to say about it. Let me press.
They've sent billions of dollars of drugs in, but maybe just as bad, they've sent hundreds of thousands of people in from jails, from prisons, from mental institutions and insane asylums. The drug lords, the drug dealers were all sent into our country. But think of it, what he's done. Tren de Aragua, probably the worst gang. They cut off people's fingers. One man made a phone call to complain about them. He cut off their hand. They cut off his hand. Don't ever make a phone call again. We'll cut off your other hand. After that, we'll kill you, they said. That was in Colorado. They sent in all of the bad ones. They sent in some bad people. And that, to me, was just terrible. And they send in drugs. Now, I will say this. 97% of the drugs coming in by sea stopped. We're trying to figure out who the other 3% are. They have a hard time getting people to pilot those boats.
I bet they would have a hard time people to take those responsibilities on to smuggle drugs in. So let's look at what's happening with Venezuela. So, okay, they can't get the oil out because the United States is also stopping that, seizing that. They can't get the drugs out because the United States is blowing up these drug boats. What do they got left over there in Venezuela? I mean, we're talking about a full blockade. This is going to be difficult because them trying to evade all of the sanctions that have been dropped on them for all of the atrocities and the war crimes, crimes we should probably say, that they have engaged themselves in. Now they're going to have to figure out, okay, if we can't get through these, what are we going to do next? And Maduro is probably going to, let me put it this way. There's not many options left. And the people are already upset. They've been trying to get rid of them. They don't want them. What's going to happen next? So that is kind of where we sit with Venezuela. And I'm just curious, with so many different people watching that region and the United States continuing to not let up, is that going to be the next conflict we move on to? Because the president's got a lot of things he wants to check off his list before the end of his term. Is Venezuela, in trying to liberate them back to the way things used to be, going to be one of the next things he's going to check off his list in the future? Makes me wonder. We got an awful lot to get to with the show. And by the way, I didn't play any clips yet with Benjamin Netanyahu, and there's a couple of moments that I think would be worth replaying from yesterday. I'm going to do that after the break. Also, Zelensky had some words after he met with Donald Trump, so it's kind of interesting. The way it sits now between Russia and Ukraine, you had the meeting at Mar-a-Lago on Sunday. It looked like a peace deal was, he said, about 95% there. Peace deal meaning to try to get Ukraine to sign off on it. Will Russia sign off on it? Well, later in the day, you had Putin claim that there was some sort of strike at one of his homes. Zelensky said that's a lie. So is it just Russia finding ways to back off a little bit? Were they lying or were they not lying? Donald Trump seems to believe it may not have been a lie. Maybe something did happen there. So later you had Zelensky sit down with Fox News and Bret Baier, and Zelensky essentially says, I don't think Putin wants peace. So Zelensky is playing ball. If Putin doesn't play ball, but Zelensky does, what does that mean for that conflict? Meaning the United States doesn't want to be involved forever, but if one side wants to end it and the other side doesn't, then what? Can the United States even ignore it at that point, or do they go full-blown anti-Russia and try to force the hand with them too? But how do you even find a deal with one side that doesn't want to negotiate? Could there be a deal that is made? So we're going to talk about that coming up after the break, too. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Well, thank you for spending time with us this morning. Going back on that one missing teenager. So I'm looking at some of the, so this was from a couple of weeks ago, and I apologize because the one person said, why aren't you guys talking about this missing teen? And I will have to admit, when I have a chance to fill in do Tara's show, I normally look at, okay, what's the latest, newest type of stories that are going on? I don't know if Tara talked about this back when it happened, so I don't have a lot of back history for things that may have happened, you know, like a week before I filled in. So a lot of these stories like this are kind of missing. But since you brought it up and you said you knew the family, I think it'll be worth maybe mentioning here. Police in South Carolina looking for, is it Rain Jepson, 17-year-old, and went missing. But at the age of 17, you know, some of the articles I read, it sounds more voluntary, but police are still searching for this missing teenage girl. Last seen in the area of Greer County, was it, on Friday? So she was seen wearing a long white T-shirt, red pants. Any information about her whereabouts, Greer Police Department, you should call them. Or and there's some pictures on the web if you do a quick search for her. But maybe gone for about 2 weeks now, roughly, or three. Rain Jepson. I hope that she makes it home safe. Let's go to what happened yesterday during the Mar-a-Lago visit between President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. So yesterday was talking about, okay, we're getting close to this. This may be the closest we've ever been to a peace deal in that region. Let's play some clips from that. I think he was talking about how complimentary he was, I guess, for Benjamin Netanyahu. That was a pretty big deal because they came bearing gifts, giving Donald Trump an award, I guess an honor that they normally don't bestow on someone outside of Israel.
You know, as I said outside, he's been a wartime prime minister, and we were, well, I guess I could say I was a wartime president in more places than just Israel, if you think about it. But Israel was a big factor, and we're with you. And we'll continue to be with you. And a lot of good things are happening in the Middle East. We have peace in the Middle East, and we're going to try and keep it that way. I think we will be very successful in keeping it that way. And you've been a great friend, and I've been a great friend to you and to Israel. And it's been my honor. And the award that I was given was really surprising and very much appreciated.
Okay, so the award, it says, we decided to break a convention or create a new one, then that is to award the Israel Prize, which is almost our 80 years we've never awarded to a non-Israeli, and we're going to award it this year to President Trump. This was announced formally over lunch by our Minister of Education, who was responsible for the Israel Prize. So that one was going to be awarded, and they wanted to thank Donald Trump in that sense. You know, a couple of people, I look online and they criticize Donald Trump about, you know, trying to force the hand to be awarded certain things like, you know, I'll give you what you want, but you got to make sure you give me the recognition and the credit for doing this. And I think coming towards the end of his presidency, I think in a way, Donald Trump wants some recognition that he's done good things. Like at the end of his life, he's done good things, and he wants other people to at least acknowledge that without him, these good things wouldn't have happened. Would we have gotten the World Cup? Would we have gotten peace in the Middle East? Would we have gotten these things? Well, if history shows that all these other presidents are unable to do all of these different things, would we have gotten the Olympics? Would we have done this? Would that have been the case if Joe Biden had a second term? Would we see this same thing going on in the Middle East? Absolutely not. We would not see any even little inkling of type of conflict resolution. Would Russia and Ukraine be winding down the way it is right now? I don't think so. So Donald Trump also talked about Iran and how bad that were the problems that we're running into, and especially when you have places like Iran that are enabling and giving terrorists the means to continue to attack Israel on a consistent basis. I think that's going to be the next thing. So when you have, between Israelis and Gazans that are there, now let's look a little bit further back and who is actually funding the other side to this. And when you have Iran acting badly, we've already seen some of the consequences to it. What happens if they continue on this path? So,
Mr. President,
how close are we to another operation of Israel in Iran? You said before the meeting with Netanyahu that you are in support of Israel if the ballistic missile project will take on, and also the nuclear weapon. But after the meeting, after what you know from the intelligence, how close are we to another war with Iran?
Well, I don't want to say that, but Iran may be behaving badly. It hasn't been confirmed, but if it's confirmed, look, they know the consequences. You know, consequences will be very powerful. Maybe more powerful than the last time. Yeah. And Iran should have made a deal the last time. I gave them the option. I said, you can make a deal. Do it. I told them, do it. And they didn't believe me. Now they believe me.
Do you have evidence that Iran is behaving badly? And what do you mean by that?
This is just what we hear. But usually, where there's smoke, there's fire. Have you heard the expression?
What do you mean related to the nuclear capability?
Well, no, I'm hearing that they're not nuclear yet, but maybe nuclear too. The sites were obliterated, but they're looking at other sites. That's what I've heard. They're looking. So it'll take a long time.
All right. Maybe behaving badly. The potential of behaving badly. I feel like my wife lives in that constant mode. What's he doing again? Is my husband behaving badly? What's he doing? Is he getting into something here? So about that whole idea, okay, are we talking about them rebuilding their nuke capabilities, or are we looking at them trying to enrich again? The things that, you know, of course, President Barack Obama said they would never do if we just gave them a bunch of money. So let's go back, because he talked a little bit more about that. As they rebuild their arsenal, what happens to Iran?
I'm not going to talk about overthrow of a regime. They've got a lot of problems that are in. They have tremendous inflation. Their economy is bust. Their economy is no good. And I know that people aren't so happy, but don't forget, every time they have a riot or somebody forms a group, little or big, they start shooting people. You know, they kill people. And the people tend to... I've watched this for years. There's tremendous discontent. They form 100,000, 200,000 people. All of a sudden, people start getting shot. And that group disbands pretty quickly. So I've watched it for years. They're vicious, vicious people, yeah.
Isn't that great? So he's like basically trash talking the Iranians at this point. Your economy's garbage. You got a bunch of inflation. Your money is worthless. You're shooting your people. You're a bunch of savages. You're vicious people. I like that. It's almost like a diss track. Donald Trump was almost real time spitting some lyrics there, diss tracking Iran, because he's like, these are some bad, bad hombres. So part of that, too, is the president talked about China and military drills that are going on there. So as this press conference is going on, you have what's going on between Russia and Ukraine. Of course, we talked about Venezuela. We have Israel and Gaza. And now they're like, OK, let's bring Iran to the conversation. OK, how about we bring China into the conversation, too?
China. So China has been doing naval exercises basically to test encircling Taiwan. Can you explain to us what your knowledges of that? What do you think about that? Have you had any discussions with China about that?
With President Xi, and he hasn't told me anything about it. I certainly have seen it, but he hasn't told me anything about it, and I don't believe he's going to be doing it.
Does it worry you?
No, nothing worries me.
But
nothing.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Let me just say this. I like what he says. Does it worry you? No. Nothing worries me. Now that is a cowboy answer.
No, nothing worries me.
But
nothing.
You said where there's smoke, there's fire. Right. So if you're in circle, if you're doing naval exercises and air exercises.
I've been doing naval exercises for 20 years in that area. Now people take it a little bit differently, but in fact, larger than they're doing right now. So we'll see. But they've been doing that for 20, 25 years.
Okay, you got to put some context into it. I like it. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing scares me. That is maybe in the future when they start making movies about his time as presidency, which I should think the media is just like waiting for their opportunity to trash him as much as they can. I'll tell you what, if there's one that's made in a positive light, that's the type of quote you put in the trailer. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. Don't go anywhere on WORD. All right, happy to be with you. Looking at some of these text messages, Trump might as well have said, yippee-ki-yay. Another person said, we hauled fuel through a rock. People loitering on bridges and roadsides or bags of trash still catch my eye. Men shoved or threw children in front of our trucks. You know, that is an interesting reality of what happened over in places like Iraq, Afghanistan. So when, you know, I became 18, I went to college, but I knew people that joined the military. There's one person in particular, a friend of mine, that I knew pretty well. And, you know, we used to hang out all the time. And he always wanted to join the Army when he was younger. That was his goal. He didn't want to go to college. He wanted to join the Army, which he did. And I would talk to him while he was over there. And sometimes he would come back. And it's fascinating, the things that I learned about the Army there. Like, he would say, hey, I need you to send me some racquetball rackets because we have a court here and we're out of rackets. So I'd like mail him these things in racquetballs and stuff like that, which was kind of, you know, what you don't think in the middle of Iraq that you'd be playing racquetball. But other thing he told me that stood out, and I kind of remember this now that you're sending these text messages in, I asked him what it was like when you're driving through these hostile areas. And he said exactly what you're describing there about children. And he said, the sad reality is children have guns too, and they'll shoot you just like an adult. And that's what he said. And the stark reality of what these soldiers were faced with and the brutality and the monsters that were putting children up to do their work because they looked at the Americans saying, well, the Americans won't harm a child, so we'll get the child to try to kill the Americans so they won't retaliate. And that is the mindset these terrorists work with. They put women and children in front of them as shields in order to block themselves. These cowardly, disgusting children. I mean, the men that act like children, I'm trying to say. The mentality of they have like that. These poor children, though, that are being used as props by these terrorists. I look at it and think that's what you're up against in these areas. And how could anyone side with them or anyone sympathize with these terrorists, especially the ones that continue to operate the way they did? And these are the same people that are out there trying to kill Jews because they don't believe they should exist. These are the people that you are trying to oppose and stop. And that's why it's important for Donald Trump to make stands like this and stand with Israel. It's sad. I want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying here. I'm not blaming these kids here. What I'm blaming is these men that act like kids, is what I'm trying to say. They look at this in their minds. They're just absolutely, for the lack of a better word, I thought, you know, acting like boys. But in the context of what we're saying here, I don't want to be misinterpreted, if you know what I mean. I'm not blaming these children. But thank you for that text message here. There's another thing that came out yesterday, and I think we got time to play this real quick. So during a Fox News interview with Brent Baer, and Zelensky was discussing what he thinks is going to happen next. It's a little bit different than the stand-up meeting at Mar-a-Lago.
Is there any indication that you see that Vladimir Putin wants peace by what he's doing or saying?
Me not, be honest. And I don't see it because, first of all, I don't hear it publicly. His messages, they go... He doesn't speak about peace. Now he doesn't speak. He says that he can go further. It's not the signals of peace.
All right, not the signals of peace is what Zelensky is saying. So if Ukraine agrees on the deal, but Russia doesn't, then what happens? I think that's the next thing that we need to look at as perhaps a alternate plan needs to be put in place. European leaders, by the way, are going to get together today to discuss the war in Ukraine. Polish government spokesperson announced, so their prime minister, among other European leaders, will basically take the call that Donald Trump made with them at Mar-a-Lago and now wonder, are they going to also back this peace plan? And if so, how? So we'll get more on that. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. We hope that you spend the morning with us, and feel free to give us a text message if you got it. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. Don't go anywhere.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.